Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you doing on this fine day, sir?
Ta-da!
You did it.
Yeah, I'm here.
You made it.
I am getting ready to get a little boozy.
He is brought in for anybody who is new to the show. I would say, a while ago that Butcher Drew...
Yeah.
All right.
He sent you a what would be a fair way to describe what he's Gentleman Jack. But Gentleman what's the Jack. Size of the bottle is what I was curious about. That's what I want to know.
750 milliliters. Okay. I don't know. That's what it says here.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. I'm dying. So he sent you 750 milliliters of Gentleman Jack, which is a premier elite brew of Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey, and you have what is probably an inch left in that bottle. Now, yeah. I have partaken in maybe an inch or two total. So that means that Paco has enjoyed a lot of... What are you looking at?
Well, I did a conversion of it online, and it said it was an impossibly large amount, so I must have done something wrong.
What does it say? At a gallon?
25 fluid ounces. That's not 25 fluid ounces.
Yeah, that's 25 fluid ounces.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I've got about 4 ounces left.
You know what? Up until this very moment, I've always taken your side on why your family complains about your food, but if you don't understand... an approximation of 25 fluid ounces, maybe you don't get to get up on a high horse and judge my ham and cheese casserole.
Yeah, it could be that I'm just a terrible cook.
Very
that
likely.
Would be very funny.
I have only had one of your dishes, and it was delicious. Maybe that's the one thing
that I know how
but
to make.
But you know what? Back to your defense, that's the thing that they wouldn't eat and enjoy. So it could be a combination of your horrible cooking meets their horrible palates.
I think so.
But your wife does enjoy the sauce that you prepared for me and my bride.
She enjoys the sauce.
Yeah, she does. Is that who's been drinking your Gentleman Jack?
No.
You would think that there would be lots of crushing. How much? That's a good equation that I would like to see if you could find on that computer you have in front of you. Is what is the translation or correlation of ratio of amount of crushing of Chihuahua that has begotten, hence that Gentleman Jack arrives in your house?
I am going to see if I can put that into Google.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Please hold while the AARP guy figures out the interwebs. But how many times would you say that you've partaken in the Gentleman Jack and it has led to carnal knowledge of your dear
bride?
That's
easy. I don't have to put that into the internet to give you that answer. Zero.
Zero times?
Yes. Well, very often I'm drinking it over here
on
the air during the day.
So
unless you count self-love.
After you and I
generally
finish off with each other, your refractory period isn't what it used to be. And so there's nothing left for the poor, fair Luna.
Right. So if I were to, was your question specific about Luna or just in general? How much alcohol do you have to get a woman to consume?
Oh, that you found on the interweb?
Well, I'm afraid to type that full thing out.
Yeah, please don't.
That I will end up on a watch
list. Please, yeah, exactly. As you should. That's the way that the internet works. Well, here's the thing. We have made many, and by we, I mean I, have made many an inappropriate racial joke on this show.
Sure.
And I had a very interesting moment of parenting happen. We went to, there's a burger joint near us, Islands Burgers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Took the family. We're riding the elevator in the parking garage that is adjacent to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on a... Excuse me, I had something in my throat. They're working on the restaurant across the street from it. And as you're riding the elevator, you could see the roof. And it has like a facade that you would put up to almost make it look a little taller than what it is kind of thing. And so on the back end of one of the facades, so we're looking at the roof and the back end of something, somebody had eloquently taken some black spray paint and written the N-word.
Oh, wow. Well, at least it was black spray paint.
Exactly. And then they also said, fuck, duh, I believe is the word that they used.
D-U-H? Burbank,
yeah.
Okay.
Burb, no, D-A.
Oh, D-A.
Yeah,
okay.
The Ebonics for the. And fuck, duh, Burbank police. And what I liked about it was fuck the Burbank police was written very hurriedly. Like it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of attention.
Like they were arriving.
Right. But the N-word was in some kind of, I'm going to guess, a size 128 font.
Right.
And if anybody's been paying attention, my dear Jacob has learned to read.
Oh, yeah.
So pardon my French, but many of you may have had this happen to you where you're getting out of an elevator in a very public arena, and my seven-year-old casts out, much like you do for as a request of information to the interweb.
Sure.
He says, "Dad, what's a nigger?" And I, my butthole puckered.
Yeah.
And I went, well, it's a very bad word. He goes, "Nigger?" And I go, "Please stop saying it."
Yeah.
And when we get in the car, I'll explain to you what it is.
Right.
And then we get into the car, and then he goes, "Can you tell me what a nigger is?" I go, "Yes, yes. Again, please stop saying that word."
Yeah.
So we had a little bit of a conversation, and two of these situations happened with each of my boys. It's like a negative or anti moment of the week for
them. Well, I was going to say, I'm surprised this didn't become the moment. No. For me, it would have had to have been.
No, for me, it was not.
But just to be clear, Jack was there as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the whole family
good.
Was there. Yeah.
Excellent.
So two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So here's what I told him. And it's interesting to me to be a white dude explaining what yes. that word is.
Yeah. Now, you could have hit record at that point for your explanation.
No. Well, here's the thing. Yes, could I? I could record anything in my life.
Sure.
I'm more than capable. But the level of... I would much rather have had a conversation with him about the birds and the bees at this moment.
Yeah.
Than I would about this very topic, because it was like... Like, here's what I didn't want to do. I didn't, you know, the kids at this age. So I give him the information. Now he goes and takes it to a public education system.
Sure.
And then he starts, you know, "Do you know what the N word, but doesn't use the N word, you know?
Right, right.
So I'm like, I'm kind of sitting here and I'm like, how do I explain to him what this word is? So here's what I did.
This I need to take a drink to hear the rest of this episode, it's or even the rest of the story.
I don't think it's entirely ironic that you're drinking whiskey from Tennessee.
There you go. Well, that's true.
But anyway, the I said to him, I said, "Well, here's the thing." I said, because he had kind of, I was watching Selma. It was on Amazon Prime.
Sure, as you've mentioned multiple times.
It was MLK. And so I'm watching Selma on Amazon Prime, and he was coming in and out and everything, and they had talked about Martin Luther King, and so I kind of went, well, contextually, maybe I can, you know, connect these. And I said, well, I said a long time ago, like hundreds of years ago, I said they treated people who had black-colored skin. Jack said, "You mean chocolate?" No, he didn't say that, but he does call them chocolate.
Right.
They said they treated people with black-colored skin
like
they were property. I said they treated them like they were animals, and I go. Some people, I'm sure, weren't crazy mean to them and were often nice to them. I said, but I'm sure there was also a lot of people who were really,
really be nice to a dog.
Yeah. Despicable. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
I did not use that correlation. I felt it might be too far.
Right.
Or that connection, I should say. But anyway, so he's like, okay. And I said, and then what they, I go, I don't know where that word specifically came from. I said, but what I do know is that that was a word that they would use to describe them.
Let me ask Google.
No, please don't.
Okay.
And so he goes, oh. And then I said, now, I said, I go, like you guys were learning about Martin Luther King. I said, now, that was when to own a person or a slave, as they would call it, that's no longer okay. I said, but for a long time after that, people still treated them like they were less than somebody who, say, had white skin.
Yeah.
And they were like, and I like that they were kind of like, really?
Right.
And Jacob said, just because they were different? And I said, yeah. I said, I would assume. I said, I wasn't around. I go, honestly, I go, I find that whole opinion very foreign. I go, I don't understand it myself. I go, but it's a part of the way things used to be. And I said, and so they coined that phrase to even be further as like derogatory. And I think, in my opinion, I said to him, it became an even bigger deal. And he's like, oh. And I said, so that is not a word that we are ever to say. That is not
okay.
That is not okay. I said, if you see it, you go, man, that's, and you look at it and you're like, that's not okay. That's not a good thing. And he's like, oh, okay. And I said, it's even worse than a bad word. I go, you know, bad words, you know, and it was very weird to me. Like, obviously I get it, but imagine being a kid where it's like, wait, so there's a bad word And then there's like a Voldemort category of words that are not to be named. Right. We only identify them by the first letter that begins them.
Right.
And we all talk like they never existed. Like, and then I don't know why, but as we're pulling out of the parking garage now, I said to him, I go, oh, I said, by the way, because we had also watched Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
And recently where they had like intermittently come into the room, like, oh, what's that? You know, blah, blah, blah. Right. And he goes, and I knew that they had thrown that word around, but I'm sure he wasn't paying attention. And if he was, I want to make it clear. I said, sometimes you will hear black people use that word, you know, talking to each other or in a song or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, I go, some people say that that's their way of taking the word away from us or, you know, for, I guess is a okay way to put it. I told him and I said, but. I go, it's still a bad word. I go, it's. I go, as far as everybody's concerned, it's okay for them to use it, but not for us. That's just the way it is. Got it? He's like, got it. He probably already lost interest at that point.
Right, sure.
But it was a weird parental moment.
That is, and you stepped right up to it.
I guess. I don't know. Here's the thing. I plan to do everything kind of like we've talked about on the show, kind of the way my dad did it. There was nothing that was taboo for me to talk about my dad.
I imagine.
Hit him with it, and he'd be like, here's the answer, and here's what would happen, blah, blah, blah. And then, in a not as socially awkward, I don't know what that says about me and who I am situation, but I mentioned on this show that Jack is very into the color pink. This year for Christmas, he wanted Barbie. He wanted a Barbie doll.
Okay.
So we got him, like, a little little doll. And here, let me just say this. I don't buy into the whole gender neutral bullshit. I think that boys are supposed to be boys and girls are supposed to be girls.
Yeah.
I think I can have that opinion and not be labeled as homophobic because I have nothing against gay people at all.
I understand.
But I also think it's kind of funny to call somebody gay if they're not.
Right.
Not because I think it's derogatory to be homosexual. But I think that if you are a straight guy, you do not want to be gay. That's what I think the perspective is. Is that if you are a straight guy, two guys kissing is not your thing. Like you kind of go, I don't have to actually suppress the vomit or anything. It's not that bad, but it is a thing where like, oh boy. Now here's the thing: I'm a groomsman in a gay marriage coming up later this year.
Oh, yeah.
One of my groomsmen who's now getting married.
Right.
You know, almost rubbing it in my face, I feel. No, I'm kidding. So I, like, clearly I don't have problems with gay people. They don't, I don't find them off-putting. I don't find them weird.
We'll see once the wedding, if you go, whoa, 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 and you just sort of
I avert my eyes when they kiss.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I've seen him be, maybe I'm hypocritical in that. I've seen him be affectionate with his man friend. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
With his boyfriend.
Yeah.
I've seen him be affectionate with him, and that doesn't bother. Honestly, what I see in that is when he came to see me, when I first met this guy, he came to see me do stand-up up in Sacramento. It was New Year's Eve. And he came, and I saw him, and I've for the first time, I've known this friend for, 15 years almost.
Wow.
And I got to see, I've seen him date. He wasn't a big kind of, he didn't have a lot of boyfriends or any of that stuff. He was single a lot of time. And I'd seen him go through relationships where you thought it was going to work out. And then I kind of see it fall apart, unfortunately. And I kind of felt for the guy.
Sure.
And now I see him with this dude for the first time. I see him very, very happy. I'm over the moon happy with him.
Yeah.
So when I saw him like hugging this guy, even though he didn't introduce, say, this is my boyfriend or anything like that. But I kind of picked up on the fact when they were making out. No, I'm kidding.
Right.
No, when they like just kind of saw the, you know, the rubbing of the back and, you know, oh, this is what you want for dinner. And, you know,
PDAs,
that kind of stuff.
Public displays of affection.
And I felt joy
or
for
PD
him.
PD gays.
I guess here's what I say that repulses me is that really all I'm talking about is that there was a time in the early parts before we were married, right before I proposed to Natalie, we were roommates with a gay couple in San Jose, California. And there was a night.
You want to play some of that music?
No, okay. No, I don't. I do not want to play any music. There was a night where I never realized I'd never learned to play Chinese checkers and always wanted to.
Yeah. Is this code?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry for being so subtle. I wish it were code, because that would make the story probably 10,000 times more interesting. Right. But no, I wanted to play Chinese checkers, and so one of the guys was Filipino, so I'm like, that makes sense. You should know, right?
Chinese checkers where you're trying to go over to the other guy's side.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Conquer the side. It's like some kind of... He used a lot of Greco-Roman wrestling analogies.
Maneuvers. Okay.
Yeah, maneuvers, I guess, would be fair. It was a lot more of a contact game than what I would have imagined.
Okay. Right. Well,
our checkers are very different here in America. Chinese people are very affectionate. You would think with the masks that they wear all the time.
Right.
You'd think, oh my God, you don't even want to ingest like my air that we're sharing.
Right.
But man, will they get up in you? We're playing Chinese checkers, and I don't know, but Natalie and his boyfriend had no desire to play with us.
Right.
And so we shut the... No, I got to stop taking down this path. Anyway, so we're sitting at the dining room table. They're watching TV. And then all of a sudden he goes, do you want to watch some porn? To Natalie. Natalie says, yeah, sure. Okay. So he pops in one of their movies because, weirdly enough, we don't have porn.
Right. And you just essentially mean a gay porn, not a porn of the two of them.
I didn't know at that point, to be fair.
Okay.
So he pops it in, and I'm okay with sex. I'm very uncomfortable with sex beyond my partner, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can have a conversation. If we're all clothed, and I can have a talk, talk about sex, and totally fine. I can laugh about it. I can joke about it. But when somebody else is nude and banging somebody else,
right,
even if it's in a two-dimensional form, I found, it slightly makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
It did not help that my Chinese checkers partner was also uncomfortable with this. It was weird that we had kind of found like some kind of odd couple crossover situation where we had paired up with the perfect people in this relationship. Where, and then he's explaining to me techniques and strategies for Chinese checkers, while the gentleman is explaining to Natalie techniques and strategies for fellatio.
Right.
And it was, I didn't know whether or not to be celebratory or concerned, like, what if my wife starts doing this for me in a very male fashion, and I'm like, and I find it off-putting?
Right.
How am I going to have that conversation with her? Or what if she does it in a male fashion, and I'm like it blows my mind, and it opens me up to a world that I'm not ready to be a part of?
Sure.
There was a lot of things going on. I don't know.
A lot of variables in play.
Needless to say, I still to this day don't know how to play Chinese chess.
Okay. Okay.
But one of us did learn something.
Yes. Now that to me is a strange question for him to ask her. Part of it is, oh, you see how open and free I am, and I'm not ashamed of sharing that.
Yeah.
But switch it to two straight couples, and you're playing checkers with Luna.
Yeah.
And I say to Natalie, well, this is already going terribly wrong.
Exactly.
I'm playing checkers. It doesn't work with the two of us. Okay, forget it. But you see what I'm saying?
Right. That two heterosexual couples. It's a very, all of a sudden, it's 1972.
And somebody says, hey, you want to watch some porn?
Everybody has too much chest
now,
hair.
Now, for information, if I'm the one putting in it, it's still going to be that. It's going to be that same gay porn film that you saw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, mind you, this is a little bit of an overshare. I know. You're like, what, Justin? No, that up until that point, honest to God, other than like an accidental 20 seconds of a video that my dad had left in the VCR, I'd never seen a pornographic film. This is pre-internet where it was everywhere. I mean, the internet existed, but it was still just for email primarily.
Yeah.
And
of dirty pictures.
Yes, like, of course. I evidently could not find those people.
Right.
But so I'd only seen that. The other part of that story that always made me laugh is that shortly after that story happened, I proposed to Natalie. We moved into our own studio apartment.
Yeah.
Within a few months of me proposing to her, she got cast as a dancer on a cruise ship and then left for like an 8-month contract, right? She was going to be gone until 2.5 weeks before we got married later that year. And so I was by myself.
Yeah.
Sitting around, I go, fuck it. I'm going to zap a porno on the cable box. I got $15 to spare. Who cares, right?
Right.
And so I find like some kind of Vegas vacation, I think, thing that it was called.
Okay.
And I thought, I was hoping that it would be some kind of pornographic
Not
version.
Not the one with Chevy Chase.
Yeah,
you were thinking a parody.
I wanted it to be like Chevy Taint or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But
Chevy Chest.
No.
No.
No, the male. I guess he would have pecs.
Bazooms.
Yeah.
I'm talking about breasts. But anyway, go on.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's all right.
So I zap it and it's going. No joke. No joke. It is an entire Vegas compilation of anal. And I was like, I'm like, good God, which is not my, not, I'm good.
You don't sound like the customer for that.
No, I'm a traditionalist. You know what I mean? I like it. But I don't need to spice it up, really.
Right.
And my secret fear is that my wife is like, why? I'm sure she doesn't want that. You know what I mean? But what if I'm boring?
Yeah,
you know
right.
But anyway, so what took me down that whole path was Jack likes the Barbie dolls. He likes the pink, all that stuff.
I completely lost track.
So I go to pick him up at school 2 days ago. Oh, there's another story about school. So I go to pick him up at school 2-3 days ago. And I turn around the corner, and we went to the pirate version of Medieval Times for my birthday or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And they give you all these, like, beaded necklaces, like the cheap ones that guys give to hopefully get some girl with a, you know, an uninvolved stepfather to show them her chest.
Right.
Her Chevy chest. And so he's got them all for the whole family, so it's like 8. So he's like Mr. T with his plastic multicolored beads.
Right.
And also, he has what I have now learned is not a beret. I called it a beret. It's a barrette. It's a barrette in the top part of his hair, like right in the middle of his head. Like just enough to where it combs all of the hair out of his face.
Sure.
But it's not for any practical purpose. And his hair is so short that it wouldn't be in his face anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's just a barrette for the sake of saying there are no gender lines with me.
Okay.
I turn around the corner, and not even given the opportunity to be cool with it, I happen to see him and then coincidentally connect with one of the eyes of the teachers there.
Mm-hmm.
And the look in her eyes was as if to say, oh, Dad's picking you up. He's not going to like this one bit.
Mm.
And I think that my face I learned recently about resting bitch face. Are you familiar?
I think I can get it from the title.
Well, okay. Well, all right. That's your loss then.
No, explain it for those who are listening in the Midwest.
So the Midwest where they don't have resting bitches. It's all smiles and happiness.
Those bitches are tireless in the Midwest.
They are. They do not need rest. So anyway, I get up at 2:30 in the morning. My day is 3/4 of the way done by the time I'm picking this kid up at school. So I might be rocking a little bit of resting bitch face or dick face. I'm not sure if there's a male difference. Listen, I'm blind to gender lines. What can I say? We have a black guy in the Oval Office, so I'm blind to gender lines. And so I looked, and she could just looks at me like, oh, he's unhappy. But I could care less. Here's the part. The part that annoys me is the part that because I'm a father, I have to get the look. You know what I mean? Like, I have to deal with you staring me down and assessing how homophobic am I about my kids' feminine tendencies.
Yes.
And how am I supposed to get in an argument about whether or not he's gay or straight? Like, and so there's a part of me that's like, how am I allowed to handle this? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. If you look at my kid on paper, he's in tap and he's in hip hop.
Yeah.
He likes pink. He wants Barbie dolls.
Yeah, I've been going through those files.
That's what I'm saying. So here's the thing. Like, other people, honestly, seem to be far more interested in this than I am. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, am I supposed to be anti-gender, where I just let him do whatever the hell he's going to want to do?
Right.
Or am I supposed to go, like, hey, that's a boy thing and that's a girl thing? Because I think we all know. Here's the point I'm trying to make. It's a part of, like, PC bullshit. We all know that kids don't really understand sexuality probably until they're at least in double-digit years. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, I'm not an expert, clearly, on anything. But because we're starting to see a lot more. I work at the station, so we get news stories that come through. It's a big thing all over. In like Texas, I think they just had another situation in Virginia where they're dealing with high school-age kids, is the one I've heard. But high school-age kids that are transgendered. They identify it as a gender different than what they are biologically considered. And so they're like, I need a bathroom.
Right.
Because I'm a girl. Even though you see me as a boy, I can't change with boys. And they're already taking like hormone therapy for some of these kids. Well,
that's early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it's you. I listen. And then there's a girl on TV. She's got a reality show. I can't pull the name right now, but she's biologically a boy, but wants to be a girl. When you see her, she looks like a girl. That's that's what it is. So it was interesting to me to sit there and look at the situation.
It's MTV's Pregnant Shemales.
There we go. That's the one. That's, yeah. Oh, my God. Their lineup this fall.
Yeah.
It's to die for. I don't know. To me, I feel like I'm supposed to be numb to it and not supposed to have any opinion. But then how am I supposed to be numb to it when everybody else also already has an opinion? I, honest to God, could give a rat's ass if either one of my sons is gay. Uh-huh. My only concern would be I would love for it, and I think all of us would agree, I want it to be a point in the world where they don't have to deal with the bullshit shame of it.
Right.
That's, I think, all anybody really seems to care about. But I've also seen a lot of people who almost seem like they're trying to push their kid in that direction. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The kid, like, it would be like Jack likes Barbie dolls, so it's like, oh, okay, let me get you Playgirl. You know what I mean? Like, don't worry, daddy's going to set you up.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? Mom gets super clingy. And, you know, I don't know.
Right, right.
I don't know anything about it. I just thought, when that happened, I see the chick look at me, and I tell my wife, I say, listen to me. She's giving him chapstick, but it's not chapstick. It's lip gloss.
Okay.
He keeps it in the drawer underneath his car seat, and he's throwing the shit on all the time. Now, here's the reality of this.
Yes.
I'm setting all this gender stuff up because here's the real point.
Yeah.
More than Jack likes anything that is girly, Jack likes a reaction. I don't know where he gets it from.
Uh-huh.
And I know that that is why he's doing it. He likes to wear it because he wore a pink shirt once.
Right.
That was given it to him because when they do the Route 66 with my parents, all the guys wear pink shirts. It's a funny thing for the very reason we're discussing it, obviously.
Yes.
And they wear, lots of real men wear pink.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wears a pink shirt.
I wear it right here.
Damn right. He wears it. And people are like, oh, you're wearing a pink shirt. He wore it to school after he got home from the trip. And like, oh, I like your pink shirt. Everybody makes a big deal about the pink shirt. Why do you think the fucking kid likes pink? Because everybody makes a big deal about him liking pink.
Okay, now hang on a second.
Okay.
I have to step in here.
Please step in.
I've been quiet for so long. No, what I will say is that whether or not he's doing it to get a reaction from people is completely independent from what his orientation may be as he matures.
Right.
So he could be doing it to get a rise out of people and could like the ladies, or he could be doing it to get a rise out of people and could like the fellas. They're not mutually exclusive.
I know for a fact.
Yes.
That he likes the ladies.
Oh, okay.
That I know that because.
Yes.
He saw that. I told that story about the Victoria's Secret commercial.
I don't know.
Locked him. I was shocked that it could happen. That, listen, I was into the ladies very early myself, okay?
Yeah.
He saw a Victoria's Secret commercial and stopped in his tracks.
Right.
And locked in on hot, you know, 26-year-old chicks running around in underwear, rolling around on the ground, and a fancy couch that you would not want to bang anybody on. That's all I see when I see those ads.
Right.
Like, listen, let's find a nice Best Western and do it right like Americans.
But you're assuming he wasn't focusing on the shoes.
Yes, because there were no shoes
in
frame. But and here's the, that's a valid point. He could be like, oh, God, I wish I had those melons, or when do I get my cans? I don't know. I honestly, because he was like, he goes, I like her, is what his words,
because
he goes, don't, he, without breaking eye contact from the television, he put his hand out when he saw me reaching for the remote. He goes, don't change it, don't change it.
That's awesome. He was almost done.
Exactly. Yeah. And I said to, and Natalie goes, oh my God, and she started laughing, and I said, what's up, son? He goes, I like her. And I was like, I was curious, so I go, why? He goes, I don't know, but I like her a lot, is what he said.
Yeah.
He's into a girl at the school. He's got a bad taste. That's a whole other thing to talk about. He's got a bad taste for girls who like drama. That's a dangerous thing.
Okay. Nothing you're saying is convincing me of my suspicion.
What do you mean?
You know,
no,
being attracted
hear me out.
To yeah,
they
go
like
ahead.
To talk and tell stories and play dolls together, and he does her hair, you know, and he's a poor guy. He's, you know, he's after a princess.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
A dangerous,
all
you know,
right.
We all know you don't want to marry the princess.
No.
I like the idea of playing the oblivious dad in this whole thing.
No, the whole thing is interesting to me. I'm not judging any of it, by the way. I only lob it out every once in a while just to sort of try to get a reaction out of you, but it's impossible because you don't hear other people's voices.
Right now, all I hear is wah, 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 wah.
Exactly. you know, he's still so young that it all seems silly anyway.
It absolutely
is. So, yeah, don't make judgments and don't react and don't...
Yeah, that's what my thing is, that I thought that I was doing the thing that you're kind of supposed to do, even though I don't really give a shit. I give a little shit about what you're supposed to do, but I thought I was doing that. Like, I'm like, sure, have your fucking doll, but here's what my fear is.
Yeah.
Natalie, sometimes I feel like Natalie's a little over-enabling of it, to where it's not, here's the thing, it's not that I'm worried about him becoming feminine in nature. I don't worry about that. What it is that I don't want to necessarily, how to say this? I don't care who he ends up with.
Yes.
I want him to elicit the behaviors that are masculine. Does that make sense? So to me, this is what I say to my wife. Let me put it more blatantly. What I say to her is, I go, would you want to be married to a man who is worried about his lips? And my wife goes, what? I said, tell me the truth. Would you want to be married to a man who is worried about his lips?
Yeah.
Because my son likes to put the lip gloss on because he says my lips hurt. That's what she has told him is the only reason to wear it. Now, he likes it because it has a fucking smell to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it tastes like anything, but it has a smell that smells good. It's like candy on his mouth. That's what he likes it for. You know, and she goes, no, I wouldn't. I said, okay. So what are you doing to the lady that he ends up with? All right? Now, let's take that and let's flip the coin. Let's say that his sexuality is already predetermined.
Yeah.
I still stand by what I'm saying, even if he likes the dudes. Because I'm a dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to be with a dude who's worried about his lips. Right?
I guess so.
Who would want that hassle? Which would you rather have? A guy who's good looking, just banging in the sack, could pull in a paycheck.
Right.
Have a good laugh.
Rock Hudson.
Likes to have a good time.
Bad
right?
example, but yeah.
Still, even if he is rock, that's gay as hell, good looking guy.
Yeah.
Machismo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of guy that, you know, I want to set him up with that. Nobody wants to end up with some princess, is what I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing, is that...
I like how this is all about me, but it's making you uncomfortable.
No. Well... never mind. Anyway, I lost it. I get so few chances and I drop it.
Okay, stop with that bullshit. Hey, I have something to say, and I stop. I but what happens is you go, hold on, and then I go, okay.
Well, sometimes I question as to whether or not what I'm saying is helpful or germane or anything else other than just being a smart aleck.
All right, we'll try to stop doing that.
All right, I'll just blurt things out.
That's what I do.
Well, yes. Look where it's gotten us.
Right.
if you want him to be Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
Then he's going to end up with the princess.
Yeah.
So either way, you're going to have a princess.
Wait, Rock Hudson ended up with a princess?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is that...
there's always a princess and a non-princess in a relationship.
I would
imagine
so.
Like a saver and a spender.
Yes.
No, because my wife's not a princess. Does that make me the princess?
I think it might.
I'm not the princess. I can't be the princess. I don't care about my lips. I don't have a fashion sense.
Listen... when you're walking down the street and you see a couple together and they're a couple of ladies,
mm-hmm.
and they're clearly a couple.
Uh-huh.
One of them is a little tough looking. One of them's a little soft looking.
But not all the time.
Well,
listen, I worked a lot of gay pride events when I worked at a theme park. Right. And let me tell you something.
By the way, that's over now.
Working at a theme park or
no,
gay pride?
Gay pride.
Yeah.
That invitation's not coming back.
But it's funny because I don't know. Like, here's the thing. When you start, honestly, working those events, A, you learn that you are not... Most straight guys, I think a lot of times we think that we're like the forbidden fruit of the gay dude.
Right.
And what I quickly learned is nobody really wants
you're
that.
You're not anybody's forbidden fruit.
No.
I got news.
No.
I know this is true of me.
Even 22 years old, Justin, was not anybody's. Because there was a time where they did this. It was.
I also liked that the phrase is forbidden fruit in this particular conversation.
My favorite was the Bears. When the Bears would show up to gay pride night, I'm like, those are some dudes that I could hang out with.
Right.
I really like just fucking grizzly and hairy and just get all sweaty up on each other.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, did not put me off. That's interesting to say out loud.
Yeah, that is.
I would see, and they had like, there was like a herd of them always traveling together in groups of eight or nine.
Yes.
And their, you know, their leather, the hat and all that stuff and the big handlebar mustaches. I'm like, hell yeah, be you.
Right. Well, it sounds like your dad.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's why I could relate to them.
This is all getting, this is swinging
getting very Rorschach
back around on itself again. Yeah. This
but,
is.
But there was also, coupled with that, then you would have the very butch lesbians. And I think this is what we try to do and what I'm kind of saying that we should let go of. But I also don't think we should overcorrect on that and say there is no gender. What I'm saying is everybody should not freak out about it. Everybody should not worry, literally not worry, not worry about not worrying. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Not go, oh, we give him a doll and a truck and let him decide and nature work it. No, just everybody fucking back off and chill out, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, you have the butch lesbians and then you have the, I didn't know this until recently. I'd seen plenty at Gay Pride, but the lipstick lesbian is the smoking hot lesbian.
Sure.
Other side story, smoking hot lesbian, me and the guy, I was the technical director, guy running the sound. He's sitting there and we see smoking hot. I mean, just like not like Pamela Anderson, but like real hot, like closer to Minnie Driver. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
Minnie Driver is a very attractive woman, but she does. There's nothing that looks fake about her.
OK.
And this chick, nothing looked faked about her. Just beautiful skin, beautiful, kind of like a curly hair. Mind you, this is in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s when this is happening. So there's a little bit of a grunge that's on its way out kind of thing. And she's dancing, just having the time of her life. So there was something about her hotness and the fact that she was having so much fun. And me and this guy are debating. We're like, she's got to be straight, right? Like, I mean, come on, look at that, you know? And we're sitting there. And then after the show, my wife is performing in the show. She comes off the stage. And then I see my wife talking to her, and I kind of jokingly say, because I thought this chick is an actual dancer and just was probably going, because we'd have that happen a lot. Oh, how do I get a job here? And I start hitting my friend. I go, dude, aren't you jealous? Look what's happening. I'm going home with an old lesbian and a new one, evidently, you know.
Right.
And so sure enough, then we walk it. Lady was hitting on my wife.
Yeah.
She was talking about it. She goes, oh, my God, you're just so beautiful, and you dance, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, though, I think, like I said, I think we shouldn't worry about it. That's my opinion.
Neither
I think
do
just
I.
Let
and,
it happen.
And the thing that you said, I feel bears underscoring, is just that if there's any feeling about, for any of our children, the path that they end up going on in life is that it is not an overly brutal one.
Right.
And so, or even unnecessarily brutal one.
Right.
And so the less judging that goes on, the better.
Yeah. And that's, well, that's interesting. I like judging. I do like, I think that we could use, there is some judging that should happen.
All right. Well, but that's what they're doing when they're going, oh, a pink shirt. They're judging.
Yeah.
You said, yeah, before you.
No, no. Okay. I know that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't think, again, I don't believe in absolutes.
But the real judging was when they looked at you and went, well, what's the man going to do about this?
No.
Well, no, you felt judged because they were expecting you to react to it.
Yes. And my reaction, though, wasn't about the judging. I was just like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, honestly, here's the thing. Everybody spends so much time worrying about what other people are doing.
Yes.
For fuck's sake. Like, just get a goddamn mirror and just worry about getting your own shit together. Quit. Oh, my God. Anybody's ever had the friend, you know, it's like all of a sudden they realize they have a drinking problem, right? And so now they got to fucking talk to you about, oh, you got to be careful about what, you know, a lot of people think, you know. Or the worst is when they become reborn Christians. I like Christians. I like people of faith. But when you become, when you first discover it, maybe it's the same as when I discovered, I don't know, pumpkin spice Oreos. You know what I mean? Maybe I just became, I'm like, oh, you gotta, dude, you gotta try the pumpkin. Have you tried it? It's fucking delicious.
Right.
And you become overly passionate about it. I think a lot of people do this about Costco. I think I've talked about this where it's it's like a religion where it's, you know, they look down their nose at you because you're not a Costcoian who gets all your stuff at Costco. And I'm like, I have a family of four, fuck knuckle. I'm not feeding a fucking litter of people. I don't need 18 pounds of ground beef and 27 blueberry muffins. Yeah. Shut the fuck up about Costco, okay?
Right.
So I guess that's what I'm saying, is that the overcorrection or the on or off, you know, kind of aspect of people feeling like they gotta worry about what you're doing. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of people who are spending time worrying about what other people are doing usually got a lot of shit going on in their backyard that they should be worried about.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's my opinion.
I gotcha.
What was the other thing that I said that I wanted to say about, I think that was it. I think I did the Barrette. I did the N-word situation.
Well, I was gonna ask you with regards to the N-word situation. Well, first of all, what I was gonna say is when he said, "What is a nigger?"
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Or
yeah.
Why are we here? These are unanswerable imponderables that are never going to be known. I was wondering if you just went, listen, just stick with the N-word.
Mm.
If you taught him the alternative.
No.
Or did you even explain any of that?
No, all I said was, that's a word that we don't use.
Right.
I didn't say, because I was going to say... I've told the story since then where I said N-word instead of.
Right.
But I did not tell him that because to me.
Right.
He doesn't. What do you need to know?
I was joking.
I know, but.
Yeah, no, it's only going to create. It's not that much better if he goes to school and goes, you're an N-word.
What up, my N-word? You know what I mean? Like, right. No, you're missing the point there, boy. So the other thing that happened that was also very interesting, to me at least, was. Because I never had this happen in my life. I went to work, worked all day, came home. I was feeling okay. Like, not great.
Right.
I had big time cramping in my stomach. And I know the ladies are going to judge, but trust me, I now know what menstruation feels like.
Okay.
In one time.
Okay.
And so I'm really bad. Like, to be honest, where I'm like, okay, maybe Natalie has to come home, the kids, and I got to go to urgent care. She's like, she does the thing where she says, just walk it off. You know, you just need to walk around.
Rub a little dirt on it.
Right. And I subscribe to that. So I'm like, but I didn't want to get up and walk around outside.
Right.
Because I felt, so what I did was I'm watching the X-Files and pacing back and forth in my living room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the way, if you ever want to feel bad about your square footage, pull that off.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, so I did that and it was kind of getting better, but then it got really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I could help it was to get in the hot shower, like having a hot shower. And that's also very awkward.
Is it worse every other month?
No, I think it's about every 4 weeks is when it happens. Yeah. And it's funny too, because I'm sitting there with the hot water hitting me in the stomach and just looking at my gut.
Yeah.
Like, look at you, you disgusting pig. Right. Jesus. You have to have hot water. Like, I'm guessing I have some form of really intense indigestion at this point. I'm like, you're such an asshole in the way that you eat that you have to use hot water externally and, push out your billowing gut in order to aid in the digestion of your bullshit food that you're intaking.
Yeah.
So I did that. Then it's time to go get the boys. So I go get the boys, and I'm at Jack's school, the preschool.
Right.
Talking to the director about a thing we're going to do for the radio station there at the school. And then all of a sudden it hits me. I get, nauseous.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, balls, man. And then it's this weird thing where it's like, you got, You're like, you kind of want to wrap up the conversation.
Yeah,
but I really like this woman. She's very nice. She's very sweet to my kids. So you're like hypersensitive about being rude to her. But I'm like, listen, unless you want me to yak on this carpet, I need to cut. And it's a weird thing where you're an adult. You can't really say that. Like, I wanted to be able to go, I kind of feel like I'm going to barf. So I should leave now.
Right.
But then they'd be like, what? That's a weird excuse to end a conversation.
Right.
And so then I'm like, okay. And then I kind of just, I had to. So I just was like, I go, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not feeling good. I think I'm going to have to go. Let's go. And she goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then we leave.
Yeah.
I walk through the kids that are playing in the next room, and I'm like, please don't barf at a kid. Please don't barf at a kid.
Oh, my God.
I get all the way out to the car. I'm like, I got to get home. And Jack is like, oh, I want to do that. I go, nope, we got to go. Let's go. So I get outside the gate, and they have the gate, and then there's a parking lot kind of area outside the gate.
Yeah.
Jack is following me through the door. I realize I'm not going to make it home.
Oh.
There's a dumpster right there. I make a beeline for the dumpster. Oh, I lift the lid. One of the teachers, and now the kids are following me out there. Mm-hmm. One of the teachers thankfully sees this, goes, hey, why don't you come back in here?
Yeah, right.
She goes, I don't think Dad's feeling so well. And I was like, all I had in me was a shaking of my head.
Oh, no.
So I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right. I go, I think I'm going to. And then there's people pulling up, and I'm like,
sure.
Now it looks like I'm looking for a retainer.
Right. Yeah.
But not like lackadaisically.
Right, because
I'm just staring. I'm like, does that guy just want to smell trash? What is this deal? So I'm like, okay, there's restrooms here. So I'm like, I'll go in there. So I go, I'm going to use the restroom real quick. And so it's a weird thing to be like, I'm now announcing to the world, I'm going to go behind this wall and we're all going to try to pretend like I'm not about to throw up.
Right, okay? Right.
So then I go and I hurl like a champ.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like a champ.
I got to ask you, though.
Yeah.
Is it one of those ones with the small toilets?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, that's awesome.
It was about It was almost, when I was kneeling, it was maybe 4 inches above my thigh.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean? Like, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did some form of a yoga pose, making a yin and a yang to right, expel my my innards. And so it happens, and I was very proud of the way I did it. I was like, handled like a champ.
Yeah.
And at one point, though, I could hear her going, no, no, no. Like now the kids are all like
gathering at the door.
Creepy guy quickly went in there to use the restroom. What's going on? You know? They're all like dogs. We're like, oh, what?
Right.
And they're meerkatting up and coming over.
Right. Right.
So then I'm kind of sitting there, and then I don't know if there's a protocol. You know what I mean? Like, no, yeah. I mean, if you're in a public, like, do you think that if one other kid throws up at the school, there's got to be, I mean, we've all seen the training at the office where it's like they call it a protein spill, I think is what it was.
Oh, no.
Maybe it's because I worked at a theme park. But
yeah, I think so.
There was a procedure to where like that because that is hazardous waste and it needs to be dealt with post-haste.
Right. But you've done it into a receptacle.
I guess, yeah. But I'm like, what if, here's the thing. Knowledge, if you listen to the show, my bar is different from everyone else.
I understand.
What I think is acceptable is not acceptable to everyone. So I was like, they had a Lysol with bleach, like bathroom cleaner in there. So I cleaned the toilet, even though nothing was anywhere. I cleaned the floor around it and everything. And so I come outside and then they're like, are you okay? And I said, I'm great now. Yeah. You know, you have that thing where it's like you could kick a bear's ass after you vomit.
Right.
So I go, I'm good now. I could go. And then like they offered to drive me home. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And then, then I'm like, I feel like I have to text the director of the preschool to say, just so you know, this happened. Because I don't, like, is there a social convention for when you throw up at somebody's workplace?
I don't think so.
Right?
I think you've gone way too. I mean, throwing up secretly in someone's workplace. I mean, everyone knew. Everyone,
yes,
every adult knew.
That's
here's
what
the thing.
I'm saying.
At the theme park, they're not bussing their own table.
Right.
They're cleaning up something somebody else left. So you were taking it a step too far when you were, unless you had actually just absolutely painted the interior of that bathroom.
As I said, it was like a champ.
Yeah, no, seriously. I think you were taking it too far to do the cleaning because they would have had to go in and clean up anyway because they don't know you did it.
Well, that's why I told them. That's what I'm saying. I said I cleaned up, but I didn't make a mess, but I cleaned up around the seat.
Right.
But I wanted to make sure the director knew because sometimes the director, you know, you're in charge of stuff. People don't always tell you stuff. And I don't know. So I text, but it is a weird thing to say. So I made it like kind of a joke. I'm like, hey, just so you know, I yacked in your bathroom. I said, I didn't make a mess, but I cleaned up everything anyway.
Yeah.
I go, I'm sorry to have to share that with you, but I didn't know if there was some kind of like special cleaning procedure you had to do if it was a school, but I wanted you to know what I did. She goes, oh, no, yeah, you're fine. Everything's good. Because the cleaner had a bleach in it.
Yeah.
The car. But it was, and then it was weird because, you know, my kids, I wanted to be like, there's a part of it where it's like, my kids, I think, thought I was a badass, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because for them.
It doesn't, but yeah. Right. No, I get it.
Right?
Yeah.
And for them, it's like, that guy just yacked, and now he's like, he's back to normal.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Like, when I yak, it's a production.
Right.
It's a show.
Right.
It's a very weird thing. I used to have a joke in my stand-up about it where it's like, when a baby yaks, it's like, it's consequential. It's like blinking.
Yeah.
Like, they just, it just falls out of their face without
even
trying.
Right, right.
And then you go through a phase in your life where you're like, oh, God, you know, you try to do anything not to yak. You know? And then you go back to it, I think, at a certain point where it doesn't just dribble out your face, but you're like, whatever I could do to make this shit happen faster will just be better.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I probably spent a lot of time thinking about vomit, more than I should,
we've learned. And sharing about it, too. I would say the chat room is empty.
We cleared the room.
Yeah, you cleared the room.
Good job, guys. We did it.
I have never, you put way too much thought into all of that.
What would you do? You would just yak and then leave?
Well, I don't think I'd have cleaned up or worried so much about it.
Maybe I'm now overthinking that.
Oh, maybe.
I was not stressed. I wasn't like, you know what I mean? I didn't get sick to my stomach again worrying about. I just was like, hey, just so you know. Here's the thing. I know that maybe the perception of me is that I'm self-centered, but I kind of think I'm more hyper-aware of everybody else's, like, I don't want to be inconsiderate. I don't want to put anybody out.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, as long as I'm not affecting your world, then that's the goal.
Right.
The goal is for me to I'm not worried about a carbon footprint. I'm worried about a pain in the ass footprint.
I think one thing I would have done differently was that I wouldn't have stuck around and chatted.
Oh, really?
I think I would have just gone, you know what? I got to get going today. We'll catch up another time. And then been in the car and been on my way home. I don't know that it would have happened at the place.
Oh, you're saying not because you just would have not felt well. You just wouldn't have chatted regardless.
No. I normally would be chatting. What I'm saying is it sounded like you were standing there having a conversation that you were questioning the value of having against how bad you were starting to feel.
Well, that was part of the issue. I didn't feel the nausea until I was about three quarters of the way into the conversation.
Oh,
I was just like, I was kind of uncomfortable, but it wasn't unmanageable. And
I gotcha. Well, that's a heck of an adventure. I'm going to pause here. I've been sitting here since I got here.
Whoa, I'm sorry.
That's all right, because you made an awful big fuss last year.
About?
And so I thought it shouldn't go unrecognized that you had a birthday.
Oh, thank you
very
much. Happy
birthday, my
friend. I did have a birthday.
I'm here to toast you.
I made a fuss last year?
36. Yes, there was a certain amount of No, I'm just saying you didn't just sort of sneak by it and didn't mention it at all. I think there was an episode.
Hmm.
You were very clear how the layers and levels of wisdom you had gained in that passage.
Maybe that's
35
why. This one
to
feels
36.
Very insignificant.
Okay.
I feel done with life.
Well,
that's what 37 has felt like for me.
Suddenly, randomly being betrayed by your body and vomiting in a preschool bathroom sounds like a man who's getting older to me. So.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
and giving up.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, salute.
Anyway, cheers.
I have water.
There you go.
I'm not a very good. Evidently, when you get old, you don't party.
Mm. There we go.
How's that feel?
Ah, lovely.
You got a little. How much you got? I think you had 2 ounces of whiskey.
Yeah.
And then you just topped it off with a splash of ginger ale.
No, it was the other way around. I had a little bit of ginger ale in the cup when I came in, and I added the whiskey.
You added the whiskey, so it's the whiskey ginger is good. You got the Canada Dry.
It's an ounce or two, ounce and a half, something like that.
You know what?
Yeah,
you've had you. When did you get that? Was that for Father's Day? When did he send that?
You know what? I'm not.
I don't
sure.
think it's been a year.
I don't think it's been a year either.
In the year of you drinking that bottle, now you're taking sips of it, and you don't have medicine face. You just sip it. Although now you giggle like a stoner. What the hell was that?
No, that's because if I giggle like my real self, it'll make me cough.
Oh, okay.
When I opened it, here's the real thing. Long before, when I unscrewed this lid just now, when I first got here, and that vapor hit my nose, I salivated. So I,
oh, really?
I was like, oh, that's very distinctive.
Look at
aroma.
That. Yeah. That's interesting. Ooh. That you like, you smell the oaky scent of the barrel,
yeah,
and the mash, and you're like, let's get it on,
let's do it,
let's crush a chihuahua,
yeah, exactly.
All right, well, you know what? For my birthday, I want you and Luna to bang around.
Well,
maybe you pitch it to her like that too.
Yeah, I think we already did that for your birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the timing's okay. Well, I gave you.
I gave you a high five, and you fist bumped me. Well, all right, now I have to do that. He high fived, and then I fist bumped his palm.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Awkward white guys.
Do we have any new Uber confessionals?
We don't have any new Uber confessionals.
Because you haven't driven?
I just been sick
well?
As a dog.
That's rough,
and I
right?
didn't. I don't normally. I'm not concerned about spreading my germs or any of that other stuff. I just wasn't.
Clearly, you just high-fived me.
That's true. I tried to keep my hand closed, keep the germs to myself. But I don't feel like I've been mentally. It's okay for me to risk my own life running errands, but I just don't think it's right to get somebody else in the car if I'm not.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not so.
I wonder if everybody else doing that is considerate about the other people's lives.
I don't know, but I tell you what keeps coming back to me is that, remember I was talking about how I had those kids in the car?
Yeah.
And just, I can remember as I was driving hearing that boy going.
Like he got you sick?
Yeah, like he got me sick. I mean, I never came into contact with him or anything, so. But it wasn't too long before I was doing that myself.
That's so funny. Because it's so true that we're just like, and it's interesting too, where it's, you know, you get the people, especially when you're kids, you know what I mean? Like you look at other people. I don't like taking the kids to school when they're sick. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
And it kind of frustrates me, but I get it where, because Natalie took Jack to school a couple times where he was okay.
Yeah.
But then by the time I would get him a little bit later in the afternoon, he was not okay. And so it's like, you know, but Natalie is the one who got on a Facebook rant and was like, take a sick day. And I kind of want to tell her, like, listen, bitch, take a sick day. Which reminds me, before we go into moment of the week, that somebody rushed. I can't remember. Lori. I think it was Lori. Oh, and there's the medicine face. Evidently, all that whiskey was at the bottom, huh?
No.
You all right?
I just poured myself some straight whiskey.
Oh, you did straight. Well, you get there, buddy.
I thought, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe I'm cooler than I was. I wasn't.
It's okay. Maybe
it's not just whiskey face. My hands were waving like a 2 year old.
Not two. That was closer to 7 months.
Oh, 7 months. Yeah. Little fists in the air, and I'm like,
you couldn't sit up with the body language you were exuding on that one. So anyway, they sent me a picture. Remember how I was talking about Natalie's thing where she gets things 95% done? So she'll go grocery shopping and not leave the bags on the kitchen counter, but walk them to the front door and leave them there.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Lori who posted on the Facebook page a picture of her grocery bags sitting by the front door. And then Leticia, I believe, I've forgotten about this, but now it has come to mind. In the chat room that very day, she made a comment of saying, you're not going to the car or something. Like, so when I need them at the grocery store, she's implying that when I go out to the car, and this is what I love about what it is to be a chick, okay? Now, before anybody sends an email, I know not all chicks are like this. There's a select few of you where it's like, oh, I'm a chick, so therefore I don't have to carry the bags out because you're already going to do it. It's the same thing. It's like, I'm a chick, so I don't have to put the toilet seat back down.
Right.
That's for you to do.
Raise the toilet seat. Like,
yeah, you raise it up. That's your problem, not mine. It's the modern day version of laying your jacket over a puddle for the lady. That's what you're supposed to do.
Ladies could just as easily finish what they're doing, get up and lift the toilet seat for us.
Exactly.
Fuckers.
Or here's the thing. There's no fight about the toilet seat in my house. That to me is the way it should be. I never get yelled at about you're supposed to leave the toilet seat up, but admittedly.
No, they don't want you to leave it up. Wait, I think we're talking about two different things.
Yeah, we are. What I do, though, is that when it is nighttime, okay, I always make sure to put the toilet seat down.
Okay.
When I'm done, I put it back down.
The round part with the hole in it.
Where do you pee?
Well, as opposed to the lid.
Oh, the lid seat. Yeah, no. Well, that's the other part of it. When we flush, I close everything. I shut it down.
Yeah, I do too.
I create a seal because we've all heard the stories about the fucking Hiroshima mushroom cloud of fecal bacteria that's flying all over our toothbrushes. You got to lid that shit, bitch.
I don't know why you're stoned on whiskey, but I just several stories that occurred to me.
Okay. Do you want to tell them?
Probably, but go on. Finish your thought. Finish your thought anyway.
So I close it, but at night I always lift it because I know that she is going to get up and go pee in a half stupor.
Yes.
And I don't do that because I'm a dude, at least at this point in my life. Eventually, I've heard from my father.
38.
Yeah, that's how 38 is when it all falls off. So anyway, I do that, but there's not a fight about that. Yeah. I just don't like the idea that you just think, oh, you're supposed to pick up the slack.
Right.
And maybe it's because I'm the slack picker-upper in my relationship. I don't know if I think my wife should agree with that.
Right.
I don't know if she would. She doesn't like it when I talk about the fact that I'm like, how about you close shit? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
She recently had a day off and I was at work. And so she does, on one of her days off, she does the cleaning of the house, right?
Yeah.
House looks great. All the clutter's put away. And she goes, I'd like for it to stay this way. Or she goes, let's see how long it stays this way, were her words. And I'm like, it could stay this way forever. Like, how is it so hard to grasp the concept that if you just do a little bit of cleaning and don't let the clutter build up, you don't have to do a massive expulsion of bullshit? Like, how much of that stuff you find on the table that you're saving do you actually use? Like, I would love to get, I know I've brought this up, I'm sorry, but I'd love to get an ROI on coupons. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, I don't even bother.
Right?
Oh, I don't even bother. I'm sorry.
And then it's like, this is what I love. When you get the coupon for $25 off Lowe's, she's got to save that because you never know when we're going to go to Lowe's and spend $1,000 and we got to get the $25 back.
I will adjust my statement. At the market, I rarely to never use coupons. But if I get like a 10 or a 15 or 20, 25 at Staples or whatever it is, I will go out and use that.
But will you take, when the coupon comes, you'll immediately go find a reason to use it?
That's sort of it. She put it in my hand and said, maybe we'll need this. And I went, oh, no, we'll just need it now. That's how I'll work it. I'll just go buy something now. Not wait for later. No. There's no saving of it because I'll never see it again.
But then,
or it'll be in my wallet, and I'll pull it out 2 years from now. I mean,
yeah. Why don't you just throw it right away? Well, like, here's what I'm going to start doing.
Yes,
I'm going to do my wife a favor because she's now announced to the heavens. Let's see how long it stays this way. So, guess what? The fucking magical fairy now gets to do for her again. Now she's going to watch and go, oh, my God, the house is so clean. Well, you know why it's going to clean? Because I'm throwing away all your fucking shit. That's why.
I can't get in here because I'm too guilty.
Of keeping?
Well, of too many crimes of housekeeping that I can't get involved in any kind of judgment. But, yes, we have a kitchen table that was piled with crap.
I don't know what your crimes of housekeeping are.
Well, listen, the bathroom, the notorious bathroom, yeah, has never been cleaned. We have the kitchen table, and it just accrues mail and just paperwork and people's shit. I ain't got no paperwork. Anything comes to me for the mail is garbage. It just goes immediately into the trash. I get, like, one check once every 18 months. But, so generally speaking, it doesn't matter. I bought an entire other table.
To put shit on?
Put all the shit on this one. It's 4 feet away from the first one.
Uh-huh.
It occupied an empty space in the room.
Did you really buy it for
it's
that reason?
It's beautiful. Absolutely. I said, everything that you're resting here, rest it on that.
Yeah.
No. It's all still piled up on the other one.
And so do you move it then from the dinner table to the other?
A little bit, but there's only oh no, and then somewhere along the line, Diego decided that table was like you couldn't touch. He had to have his stuff there, and you couldn't touch it.
These fucking kids.
Yeah. So I'm like, don't you have a room?
Yeah, exactly. Why'd you put it in the hammock?
Sorry. Oh my God.
This is the vomit on the
terrible
thing.
No, that's terrible. That's just terrible. I want to say, yeah. So getting beaten down all these years. I got to see if she's on here. She's going to kill me. I haven't stood up to pee in about 10 or 12 years. I sit down to urinate. This is to go along with my mangina,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Because I just don't need the hassle.
I did that until I realized that my sons were also doing it, and then subsequently we're not learning to pee standing up. So
oh, no,
now
if you lift the lid, if you lift the lid in what we call the boys' room, you can tell my sons are not sitting down. There's piss all over it. So,
I said, lift in the seat.
Right. So, and then I have the habit of putting the lid down. Well, unlike you, I do get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I'm a sitter. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I have sat upon my own balls in the darkness. So there's that moment of shock when they hit the cold lid, and then followed by the moment of warmth and pain as I sit upon them in the dark.
I can't wait for this to be my life.
And so similarly, yesterday I didn't sit on them.
That it's not like it happened twice.
No, it's happened countless times.
That's awesome.
Because I'm delirious and I'm stumbling around and I'm stepping over baby gates on the way to the bathroom in the darkness.
But this is for your animals. This is not.
Yeah, right. Yeah. To get there.
You do kind of run an American Gladiator-esque yes, obstacle course,
well,
to get to
Ninja
the
Ninja Warrior is, yeah, what I like to think of it now. American
There's
Gladiator's
a stick that
very
you
old.
To, yeah, used to climb through the hallway.
Yeah. What do they call that? The Jacob's Ladder or something. They have some phrase for that. the Devil's Ladder.
Listen, if your wife is listening,
yeah,
she needs to understand how fucking lucky that she is that she's married to you. Because if I was running through an American Ninja-esque obstacle course to take a piss in the
right,
middle of the night,
right,
meanwhile, 4.5 feet directly south of me, there right, is a palatial palace
yes,
of bathroom needs,
yeah,
I would be pissing and shitting all over right, that place.
That bathroom is like something out of like a Eastern European dictator's, you know, bathroom.
Right.
Right.
She would need a key card or a retinal scanner outside that door to keep me from dropping my DNA in there.
That's funny.
And the more that she resisted, the less I would aim. That's how I would do it. It's like, listen, bitch, this right, could go two ways for you.
Sure. That's funny.
We could do this the easy way or the way where you don't like it.
So, oh my God. Okay. So I feel like my face is very red. So I sat down the other day.
Uh-huh.
I'm so hot. Exactly. So I sort of sat down and I could see there was paper on top, whatever mm-hmm, it was. This is the bathroom I share with Diego. So I flushed it and I sat down to you know, I think you can imagine. And there's a second or two, and then I start feeling wetness. And I was dangling into the water of a clogged toilet that was filling up on me. like a fishing line. I mean, a very short fishing line. I was absolutely horrified. I don't get too horrified by stuff, but I'm like, look, There's a lot of places I'm willing to put my dick, but toilet water's not one of them. I draw the line there. I'm so sorry. My filter was
This
gone.
Is why being uncircumcised is helpful.
Yeah.
You have a protective
That's
sheath
true.
That can be cleansed.
That's true. I should go back.
Yeah.
I should,
you should retrofit that thing.
Oh, my God. Anyway. So those are the bathroom stories. I'm out of bathroom stories.
Well, what was the end of that one? Like, what?
In the middle of the night, I had to clear the block. Well, I just couldn't bring myself.
You had to clean the block and tackles, yeah, is that what you're about to say?
Yeah, no, well, that too. But I couldn't, cleverly enough, we don't keep the plunger in the house. It's actually in the garage. What is that dirty thing doing in the house? You know, and I'm like, well.
If I was her husband, tell her this, please, because I think sometimes they need to be reminded of how good they have it. If I was her husband, that fucking plunger would be in the middle of the shower. It would be in the middle of her sink. I would put it directly adjacent to her toothbrush. There would be a... It wouldn't even... To call it a cold war would not be fair, because it would be weaponized.
I see.
There would be some kind of a level of lukewarm, or maybe some kind of a germonuclear war that I would have to conquer that bathroom in there.
Well, so I had to clear the clock, but I refused to go to the...
Especially if she's working, I would get in that thing, buck naked in a bubble bath, and just take selfies and send it to her at work. Just enjoy
just
with
to
a champagne flu. Like,
right.
I would set my phone down so you don't see the image,
right,
but I would make a video of just the sound of me peeing in her toilet. You know what I mean? Just enough of the frame to where she knows where it's happening.
Right.
And she hear, even if I was just pouring iced tea into the toilet.
You know what I mean? It could be just regular water. It doesn't have to look.
I don't know about that. I don't waste water. We're in a drought here. But
you want to go past the frame so she can see the amber fluid. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's good stuff.
Oh, we've reached a new low.
Yeah, we did it, everybody. And the show has reached a new low. That's a drop somewhere that I think I have at work. Anyway, let's do a moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
I'm sorry, I was looking through some of the chat room, and evidently I ruined a lot of people's day with my vomit story.
Oh, no.
Also, but my favorite line is, dripping bees all the way to the garage. all right, Paco, you're up for a moment of the week, my dear friend.
All right, this is going to be a little bit different. It's not kind of a thing, which so many of yours are. But it has to do with being on the phone the other day, hearing my son Chad, the lesser mentioned Lancini, and hearing him talk about he's been had a lifelong, struggled with anxiety. And, you know, to some great extent. And it was really cool to hear him talking the other day about how, you know, he said, I've learned a lot of skills about how to sort of deal with my anxiety, and I've got these tools now, and so on and so forth. And those are all really great. But he was saying that recently what he had come to grasp and to embrace was the degree to which he was creating his own sort of bullshit in his own head. And he said, if I just stop doing that, I'll just have sort of normal, manageable amounts of anxiety, and these tools will be ample to handle that. And it just was really, it was really touching to hear him have, you know, that just to hear that he's growing and that he's becoming more capable and confident in his own abilities. And also just aware of just how much he was getting in his own way, because there's so much support and so much love and so on and so forth. And then kids just in general, I only want to do it on my own. I don't want help. But yeah, you need it. Help is not bad.
Yeah.
You got to have a little help. So I was just very proud of him in that moment, and am going down to see him solo this weekend. So
right on.
Yeah.
When are you flying out? Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Right on.
So, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be arriving back in Burbank until halfway through the Super Bowl. I know.
Are you a big Super Bowl fan, or are you doing a bit?
No, I'm not doing a bit. For the last 10 years or so, we've been gathering at my dad's house, and I ask a couple of my goofball friends over.
Don't
start with me.
No, I'm kidding.
You were clearly had your own plans and your own thing.
Yeah, so my normal plan is we usually do something at my place, wherever it has been, and my buddy Kevin will come over this year for the first year.
Yeah.
I was invited.
I don't remember getting, never mind.
No, nothing was sent.
Okay.
See, that's how we do it. That's the difference between you and I.
There you go.
I got invited to Thanksgiving because my wife went to go hang with my dragon mother-in-law.
Right.
Who, by the way, somebody pointed out she's commenting about things on the Facebook page. So they're like, she might be listening. But I think it's that Natalie posted a picture of my birthday cake, pie that she made me, I should say. Anyway.
Tell us more about that birthday pie.
I went to go have, and evidently I've been invited by, I don't know if it was Bill Handel or if it was his former porn directing brother, but
yeah.
But I'm going back there now, this time with my wife in tow. So we're going to go and partake in Super Bowl at the Handels to see
and
what that's like.
Kevin is just.
He's left high in the lurch or whatever, I guess.
I can't make that noise.
What's that?
I can't do it. Yeah. There's a way of making it where you just blow air through your lips, but I don't have.
What do you mean?
Yeah, sort of like that.
Are you trying to make an elephant noise?
I can't make any of them. I lack the strength in my lips.
Is that what you're trying to do?
That's the one I was trying to do, and I couldn't do it.
Jeez, Lou, that was a lot. All right, moment of the week for me is.
Oh, my God, I thought you'd already done it.
Huh?
I thought you'd already done your moment of the week.
Well, you need some more whiskey in your life, evidently.
Okay.
Can you imagine if you became a day drinker and an Uber driver?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think I'm halfway there.
Then your sitcom no longer is network friendly. It becomes FX material, maybe even FXX.
Yes.
My moment of the week for Jack was I've been getting caught up. There's lots of movies that were really cool in the movie theater that are now coming out.
Yeah.
So I was watching Bridge of Spies.
Yes, I saw it.
And he was sitting with me the other day watching Bridge of Spies, and he's just sitting there cuddled up next to me, and then he just kind of randomly says, he goes, "Dad," I said, "Yes, son." He goes, "I love watching shows with you." And I said, you know what? I like it too. And then he kind of put his head down on my chest and then passed out and went to sleep, which kind of sucks because it's like now he's not going to go to sleep as well.
Yeah.
But God, though, I love those days.
That's fantastic.
You know what I mean? Where they're just cuddled with you.
I thought he was going to say, "Dad, what's a kike?"
we run down all the races.
Right, yeah. You know, we never got to the Mexicans today.
Yeah. But then with Jacob, it was kind of a similar thing where he just randomly, we have a routine where I floss their teeth and Jacob brushes his own teeth now.
Mm-hmm.
The dentist said they're supposed to wait until they're 12. Can you fucking imagine, like, brushing your own kid's teeth till they're 12?
No.
Like, I was drinking that Kool-Aid until recently. I'm like, well, so what, at 12 he's going to start to learn on his own?
Right.
Like, I go,
and develop
no.
a habit
yeah.
of some kind.
I'm going to trial run it at 6 and see how clean his teeth come
like
out.
Like a balloon.
Yeah.
The trial balloon at 6. And
that's
see
what we
goes.
Did. Yeah. And so anyway, he did it. And guess what? Dennis said everything looks great. So go fuck yourself.
That's good.
But anyway, so I floss for him. And so I flossed his teeth, and then he usually just kind of turns around and goes. And then today he like kind of stopped, and sometimes he will very adorably cover his face and mouth. And I go, "What's up?" He goes, "Your breath stinks." Which I don't know. You'd have to tell me. You talk to me probably more than anybody. I don't think I'm a guy who's known for stinky breath. Do I ever?
Not from this distance.
Right?
No.
Yeah. Like I don't know.
But
understand.
If you were flossing my teeth, it might be a different situation.
If I was really up in your grill
for both of us.
But this time he kind of just took a moment, looked at me, and then just kind of leaned into me and gave me a hug.
Yeah.
And I said, "You okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I just love you." And I was like, "Oh, come on." I go, "Do you want something?" He goes, no, I just wanted a hug.
Right.
I was like, "Oh, kid, you're the best." So those are my little sweet moments of the week. And that was our show. So send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Some of you are already sending messages. about the talk of doing 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Not a lot, I'll be honest. There hasn't been a huge uproar. There's some people who have said, here's what I think, and this is why. But I know that there, our very own Butcher Drew has said that he was going to throw it out there on the Facebook fan page.
Yeah.
I think is the best way to describe it. So we have the fan page, which is the Facebook page for the Dab Podcast. But then there's like an inner circle, like a premium level that costs nothing that you could join in, which I highly encourage. This is not me making fun of or mocking.
No, not at all.
But it's called Staying Frosty with the Dab Podcast. You should definitely join that because they do really cool stuff that's beyond the show. So they not only reference either bits or make fun of, I'm assuming, I have not honestly looked, but, or no, I've looked once, but it's like there was cool pictures of like saying, oh, this is something that somebody referenced in the show, or they had pictures not, had nothing to do with the show, just like this,
and,
or saying, hey guys, what do you think about whatever?
Right.
So Drew said, hey, I'll put it up on the fan page if that's cool. I said, absolutely cool, so I'll let it sit there, and then I will go and peruse it. I asked his permission, which he made fun of me for. I said, oh, yeah, definitely do that. And I go, and I'll go by there and take a look if that's cool. I don't know what's wrong with me, that I, but I feel like that's a clubhouse.
Once you do go take a look, we'd like you to use bleach to clean everything you touch
before
you leave. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, go there and weigh in. I did get, I don't know how I threw her under the bus, and maybe I'm doing it again. But I got an email from Jessica that I adored because it was, she said in the chat room, I'll send an email, which she didn't say loud. That's me throwing her on the bus. But then I recently got an email saying, just so you know, there's an email coming.
Oh, no.
You know, like, I did not forget. Now, there's nothing ominous about the tone of the email and the words that she chose.
Sure.
Other than the fact that she's sending an email saying that there's an email coming. Which I found very amusing.
Keep the fear alive.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Well, that's the thing. It's inherent, I think, within all of us men to be naturally afraid of women.
Yes.
So to say that I read that without any ounce of fear would be a bold-faced lie.
That
would be just a cold-hearted, just lie right through my teeth. But to say I was petrified or like it was like, dun, 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 none of that. But I was like, I kind of looked at it and go, this is an email saying that there's an email coming.
Right.
No, totally not a threat. Like, no, so brace yourself. She didn't even say buckle up.
Right.
You know, it was, it was just.
She didn't want to be friendly. Which,
the more I talk about it, it's kind of scaring me more. Like, there's an email coming. Anyway, so let us know what you think of all of that jazz, and I think that's it. All of our social media handles are in the description of this very episode. You could check out pictures behind the scenes that our very own Paco takes at his Instagram page, which is call_of_Dooley. You could listen live to the show at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. Thursday around noon, I try. Today I got off work a little late, so it was closer to like 12:15. 12:30, I think, when we started, blah, blah, blah. But you can listen live. There's an app that you can get that free on your phone. And again, that URL is in the description of this episode. And now Paco is going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon banner.
Here's the thing. I'm going to do this relatively straight because often with my shenanigans, the message gets muted here. Yeah. Well, you got to be serious every once in a while. Listen, it's very easy to support the show. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can tell a friend. You can tell a different friend. These are just two examples.
Just to be clear, this is you being serious? I just want to make sure I understand what's happening here.
Okay, yeah.
This is you doing it for realsies.
Yeah, this is for realsies now.
You know, let's back it up to one. Let's try again. Let's take another go at this. And this one, just have fun with it. And let's try to pretend like you haven't consumed 3 ounces of whiskey in the course of 45 minutes, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Paco's going to tell you about our Amazon banner.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm so hot. Listen, there's a lot of different ways you can help the show. You can tell friends about it, so on and so forth. You could send in donations. You could do all those different kinds of things. But there's a really simple way to help the show, which is to use Amazon. Now, a lot of you use Amazon anyway. I know almost everybody. I got to figure everybody listening to my voice buy something off of Amazon every now and again. But here's what you can do to help the show is you can get to Amazon by going to the Dad Podcast webpage and clicking on the banner at the bottom of that page. And once you're at Amazon, you bookmark
Amazon. And every time you go back to Amazon, use that bookmark. And the things that you buy there is going to cost you exactly the same amount of money. It's not going to cost you a penny extra, but it's going to mean the world to us because a little bit of what you spend there is going to come our way. And it can make the difference between one thing and another. That's it.
All right. I like what you did.
No kidding.
On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.